enough. You know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. Brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Right here on Sports Byline.
WBC interim title on the line, of course, across the pond. What can I say? Dillian White, of course, the lazy guy that he is now, 29-6, get back 28-2, 19 wax, TKO and 4 over a COVID survivor. I'm talking about Alexander Povetkin. He got the COVID like 3 or 4 months ago, and they had to like put things off and this and that. So I think the COVID sort of hurt him because he looked like he was like never in the fight. And here was a guy that has been in every fight. I mean, he's had almost 40 fights. The only fights he's lost, of course, was stoppage and to the 2012 Olympic gold medals, one of the current world heavyweight champions, Anthony Joshua. And before that, losing a decision to 1996 Olympic gold medalist and then world champion Vladimir Klitschko. So he had no shame on his record. I'm talking about Alexander Povetkin. Of course, White, what can I say about White? Lazy, fat, slow. Doesn't talk a good game. He likes it. Eddie Hearn likes him, the promoter. Of course, Eddie Hearn runs basically boxing on his own. So I guess Dillian White's going to get some more dates. And now he is the WBC interim title holder again. Of course, they've got to do this thing as far as these heavyweights are concerned because we've got Anthony Joshua, of course, the 2012 Olympic gold medalist. I said the once beaten fighter, the guy that got knocked out by Andy Ruiz. Got knocked out by big old fat Andy Ruiz. Of course, Andy Ruiz is what I call him, but now I've got to call him Andy Ruiz because he's back in shape or looking back in shape. He's probably the slimmest I've ever seen him. So the comeback of Andy Ruiz looks like he's going to do his thing a little bit later in the year. We'll talk about that fight maybe in hour number two. But Andy Ruiz, of course, part of this big stable. King Ryan Garcia, of course, he's a mandated now for a WBC interim title defense against Javier Fortuna. Canelo Alvarez, he's going to take on Billy Joe Saunders in May. What I say, the entire DAZN thing is just rocking and rolling because if you got DAZN, you're watching all the fights. I mean, ESPN's got some things going on, but when you look at ESPN, they've got Crawford, and that's all they got is Crawford. So outside of that, they don't have a whole lot outside of Terrence Crawford on ESPN. I thought Manny Pacquiao, of course, talking about coming back, still wanting to fight at 41 years old. We'll see. But Oscar De La Hoya, Oscar De La Fishnuts, last time we saw him, what was he doing? He was posing in magazines wearing girls' clothes, and now he's coming back again. He says he wants to come back and fight a UFC fighter on July the 3rd. Why doesn't he just fight my 65-year-old butt, almost 65-year-old butt, if he's going to fight a UFC fighter? Sort of like fighting a guy with one hand. You know, Oscar's not much of a, what can I say? Think about Oscar, think about the fishnets. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, taking it to Southern California, of course, bringing in the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant. 48 years old, Larry Merchant. Oscar De La Hoya is going to try to make a fool out of himself, I guess, with a comeback.
I don't know who he's comebacking against, but I don't imagine it's Superman.
No, but, you know, he's going to take it on a UFC fighter. I mean, what is he? It's just, anyway.
So it's a boxing match,
but it'll be with a UFC fighter.
Who has never boxed before.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what? Oscar was the biggest draw of his time. He's a historic figure in boxing, and he sees that some ex-champions are making astonishing amounts of money with these exhibitions that have all the suckers waiting in line to see or not see. Mm-hmm. And I guess he wants to grab some of it.
You know, I got no real knock on the Golden Boy. Back in 1996, I promoted the last closed-circuit television fight that was of note. That was Julio Cesar Chavez and Oscar De La Hoya. And I'm going to admit it. I made $20,000 that night, so thank God for Oscar. That's all I can say. Thank God for Oscar. Oscar De La Hoya, that was one hell of a night. We were turning people away. We had 3 screens in a theater in Spanish, 1 screen in English, and that was just a hit, no doubt about that. Of course, pay-per-view came along and just killed the world of closed circuit. You know, Larry, I used to dig, not only did I make some money at closed circuit, but I liked the closed circuit ambiance. We used to go to the closed circuit, and everybody would sort of be there. It was just like going to the fights, except you weren't at the fights.
Agreed.
No,
I saw, although I went to Zaire for the Ali Foreman fight, mm-hmm. when it was postponed and I went home, because of some things I had written, they wouldn't let me back in the country. I mean, have you ever heard of a sports writer or announcer not being allowed in the whole country? And in any event, so I went to see the fight on closed circuit. And I had seen some before. The first, I believe, the first closed circuit fight was Sugar Ray Robinson in the rematch with the British guy who upset him.
I can't think of his name right now.
What was his name? Do you recall?
Nope, don't.
He was a very tough, strong, awkward character, and Robinson was on the tail end of an international tour.
Was it Pinder? Pinter?
No.
No? Okay.
In any event, he lost to a bigger, stronger, awkwarder, and all that. And so they had a rematch from New York. The first fight was in Britain. And I went to see that rematch on closed theater. I think I paid $5. And that started boxing into another dimension.
You know, I remember talking to Bob Arum. I said, how'd you ever get the boxing bug? He said he was working for the Justice Department, of course, as a U.S. attorney, and for the Kennedy administration in 1962, and he was told to go count the receipts, the closed circuit receipts of the Patterson Liston fight that was in Chicago, I think at the White Sox stadium. So anyway, he said that he realized there was so much money involved in boxing that he realized that being a U.S. attorney wasn't even worth it, not even worth the title. And of course, a couple years later, he was promoting Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, well, today they call it streaming. And in which you could make money from all over the country and even the world, and have people pay to see it. It's like if you had a stadium that seated 2 million people.
No doubt about that. Well, you know, I will say this, though. Some of the fights, the fact that there aren't people in the crowds, you can hear those body shots, Larry. I mean, it's taken boxing almost to a new level, and I would think that the promoters or the TV producers would realize that and probably try to enhance the in-mic rings. I mean, yeah, the in-ring mics, I mean, because that's, bat! You can hear those body shots now with nobody in the crowd.
Well, I'm not sure that they weren't afraid of turning off a lot of people with those sounds.
Well, I don't. I guess there's a flip side, both sides to it. I'm looking here at Robinson's record. Phil Moyer, Terry Downs, is that the guy he lost to?
No. He was a big, strong right-handed fighter, and Downs was a southpaw, and he lost to the guy either in 1950, 51, somewhere.
Okay. You know, spending time around him, he was smooth, he was purposeful, and he was lucid when I spent time with him in 1984. And he was explaining to me the greatness of fighters. And even though this was sort of tripped me out, is even though Tommy Hearns had just knocked out Roberto Duran, Ray Robinson sat there for about 40 minutes and explained to me in his mind why Duran was a greater fighter. That was like, I was like, whoa. He used to talk about weight classes and things like that. But, yeah, he was, are we talking
Duran was a natural lightweight fighting a big welterweight.
Randy Turpin. How about Randy Turpin? Was that the one?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Randy Turpin. Ray Robinson starting to slide at that point in time. You know, Ray Robinson, people say that he's the best fighter ever, pound for pound and this and that. Carmen Basilio told me he wasn't.
Carmen Basilio was a big Carmen Basilio fan, I'll put it that way.
But he was such fun to be around, whether it was at the International Boxing Hall of Fame, are having him on the phone. Talk about the former world welterweight and middleweight champion, Carmen Vasili. He was in, I think he was an onion farmer from upstate New York.
Right.
Yeah.
But kind of sort of where his neighbors built the International Boxing Hall of Fame to celebrate him.
Wow. Yeah, that, I've, you know, a lot of...
He was a terrific fighter. You never got disappointed in a fight that he was in. He upset Robinson in their first fight.
Mm-hmm.
Robinson was in his mid-30s. Basilio was still in his prime. And then in the rematch in Chicago, and I saw both of these fights from ringside, Robinson just gave him a boxing lesson and puffed up his eye and made him look like a mess. And so in both of the occasions with Turpin and Robinson. Yeah, that it was.
And Basilio.
And Basilio, they were two rough, strong guys. I got to tell you, I shook Basilio's hand a number of times. He had the most iron-fisted hand I've ever felt.
Well, you know what? He told it like it was. When I sung him "Happy Birthday" on the air, you know what he had? You know what he? You know what his response was? What did your mother do? What did you do with the money your mother gave you? And I was dumbfounded. I go, "What do you mean, sir?" And he goes, "The money your mother gave you for singing lessons, kid. You can't sing a lick." Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Back with Larry Merchant after the break.
Sugar and spice. I feel nice. Like sugar and spice.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
The low tower of power, I guess it's like not 1975 version, of course, of Soul Vaccination. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, come to you from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Our guest is on the line from Southern California, City of Angels. Of course, he is a retired HBO godfather, the Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. And Larry, as 2021 is upon us, who stands out in the world of boxing in your mind?
Well, I certainly think Tyson Fury stands out physically and every other way. A great showman and as well as a really tough and smart fighter. I think Anthony Joshua is close. Then, of course, there's Alvarez.
Mm-hmm. Canelo.
As a super middleweight. And then, I don't know, there's some others, young fighters who have used this period to get some fights and exposure. And particularly the lightweights, as we all know. And, you can't exclude Spence and Crawford, but you'd wish they'd start fighting somebody if they can't get to fight each other. And I certainly, Teofimo Lopez, Ryan Garcia, those are the guys that come to mind.
Yeah, looks like Gervonta Davis was in the news this week. He was indicted on 11 charges regarding an auto accident with a Lamborghini or something like that, a hit and run. People think that since there's a couple of felonies involved, he's going to spend some time in jail. But this is the way celebrities get out of this, by paying people off and paying fines and restitution and that kind of good stuff, you know, right? I mean, this is the way it's done. People pay
I don't
off.
Know. Maybe he has to go back into poverty. So that he can build up his ambition on the straight and narrow, but he's a kid that's been in a lot of troubles and can't get out of his own way.
Like much like Adrian Broner, he did this live stream. You were talking about streaming earlier. He streamed on YouTube or one of those TikTok things with like $200,000 laying on his bed in cash, $100 bills running up and down. So then he had the nerve to go to court 5 days later and tell the judge he only had $41.
Well,
Boner.
I wasn't there, and those are stories I'm not completely aware of. But listen, prize fighters generally come from the underclass, and so you're going to have some of them who just don't know how to stay out of trouble and use their anger inside the ring instead of outside the ring.
How did George Foreman make the metamorphosis from a guy that was I watched him in the gym, Godfather, when he was a kid, and he was an animal beating up guys my size, middleweights and this and that. And then, of course, you know, he had the big change. But before he had the big change, he had that dog jump off the balcony because he ordered the dog to do so, and the dog jumped off the balcony to his death. So he wasn't the prettiest guy or the nicest, most lovable guy in the world before he came back and had this metamorphosis. Was it religion that changed George Foreman, do you think?
I think it was certainly a part of it. I think that early on, when he was winning Olympic gold and so on, he felt that you had to be a badass outside the ring as well as inside the ring, and he modeled a big part of himself on Sonny Liston.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sonny Liston was a guy who had been in prison and was a jailbird and got in trouble in three or four cities and drugs. And George thought, well, that his style as a fighter and that his origins from the Deep South, that was a guy to try to be like.
Okay. Triller.
And then 10 years where he became a preacher I've never seen a change in a personality the way his was.
It was a metamorphosis. I think that's the best way to describe it. He was just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was watching him on TV and I'm saying to myself, this is an act. This is an act. Okay. And then, you know, him doing the Wendy's commercial, this is an act. And then I did a pay-per-view commercial with him live in person in Richmond, California. And then I realized, you know what? Maybe this isn't an act. Maybe George really has changed for the good. Anyway, one question here. George Foreman at this point in time, he's still an icon. I mean, he's selling all those grills. But back to what I'm trying to say, the grills. He made $45 million, somebody told me. He sold those grills for $45 million. That's a lot of money. He didn't ever need to fight.
Well, Pedro, that's a number I've never heard before because I was under the impression that he got close to $200 million.
Okay.
And that may have included doing a lot of commercials and doing a lot of sales over future years. But he made an enormous jackpot.
Okay. Godfather, who is Peter Kahn? Peter Kahn, this guy with Triller. Who do you remember? Did you know Peter Kahn?
No.
Okay. Evidently, he's supposed to be some boxing whiz guy. He's going to run Triller now. And of course, Triller is trying to bring all these fighters together. Good luck on that one. We'll see what's happening there from the Silicon Valley. The tech industry is getting into boxing. Does that surprise you at all?
Oh, now that you mention that, I did read a story about this guy, and I don't even remember what I read. But no, it doesn't. Guys who've made triple fortunes by the time they're 30 or 35. Looking for ways, if not to make triple of those triple fortunes, to have some excitement in their lives. And boxing is a relatively easy game to ease in if you have those kind of bucks.
Good point. Boxing's picking up, of course, next week, April the 3rd. We've got Jamel Herring and Carl Frampton. That's going to be a pretty good fight on ESPN Plus, ESPN Plus in the Zone. Larry, you've got the Zone in ESPN Plus, correct?
I have the Zone. I'm not sure if I have ESPN Plus.
Well, I think you have ESPN, and that takes care of it. So how's the Godmama, and what are you guys going to do on this lovely Sunday?
Well, it's turned into a real spring day after some couple weeks of chilliness, and we're still trying to make it up as we go along. I have a park here that I go to walk and just breathe in the ocean and the beach, and read my newspapers and see my grandkids.
Lucky you. Santa Monica, of course. Godfather, you have a great day. Kiss the Godmama for me. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, sir. I thank you so much for your time each and every week. I know you don't have to do this. I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Pedro.
The great Larry Murch. What can I say? The retired HBO Godfather appearing exclusively on Sports Byline and Ring Talk Live Worldwide, baby.
Some like short, skinny legs and all. To have a mother for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Look here.